If you're an adventurer, there's one place that you absolutely have to shop.
There is, because there's this place called Modatomic, and they have the gas can hoodie, which when you put it on, it feels like a hug. And if you're a true adventure rider, you know that some days don't go as planned and you need a hug. But not only the gas can hoodie, Modatomic has other things too. Like what, Cappy?
Like beanies, cups, stickers, t-shirts, and probably my favorite dry bag.
That orange dry bag is badass.
It is. Modatomic.com. Link in the description.
So, Chappie, I got a confession to make.
Confess to me.
I've been talking to our buddy from B-Moto, Paco Pete. You know B-Moto, that shop that does really cool stuff like
off-road performance engines and suspensions. They even can Cerakote with ceramic finishes, so the outside is just as strong as the inside.
Which is awesome and brings me to my confession, Cody Proof Certification. Because Paco Pete told me they're going to take care of my engine and Cody Proof it.
That's something that not too many places can say.
No, definitely not. I would just suggest go over to bmoto.com and check it out. They've got some pictures of what they do.
Boutiche.com. Link in the description of the podcast.
Yes, because it's hard to spell, but they do good work. We're going live. I can tell by the look on Chappie's face. We are about to go live.
So you are ready to do the tips for new two-up riders? Or just two-up riders in general?
Just the tip? That's how I got her on the back, so just a tip.
Yeah, we didn't. If you offered just a tip and she got on the back, you're fucking doing it wrong.
Sometimes just the tip is, you know, as they say, just the tip of the iceberg. Took down the Titanic. You got to watch out. Sometimes the tip can give you more new bargain for, my friends.
I know, but if you're giving her the tip and she's on your back, you're fucking fucked up.
The back of the butt, you fucker. Now, if she hops on the back of the bike and you get just the tip, then...
Well, you got the wrong passenger.
Yeah, I'd say so. But, you know, these days and age, you never know.
You're listening to the Throttled Adventures Podcast. And now, your host, Cody and Chappie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttle.
Just the tip.
No.
Oh, sorry, wrong show. I was thinking fans only here. Sorry about that.
No. Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttled Adventures.
Oh, yeah. Because today, I'm feeling rated M as fuck.
As fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You know, I'm jumping all over the place. I got a race in fucking 12 hours or some shit.
Oh. 12 hours.
The shit I do for my children.
That aren't even yours.
That aren't even my offspring. Yes, that's true.
That's the first thing I was like, yes.
I enjoy my time with the children, but this is...
Yes.
You know, there's something
son-in-law
like watching a show with a kid, you know, watching a cartoon or something. That's like level one engagement, right?
I hate you, rabbit.
You know, my favorite one that I think isn't even around anymore. He had two guns. Yosemite.
Ricochet Rabbit? Oh, Yosemite Sam.
So, like, that's easy stuff. Let me tell you what. Desert racing to spend time with your children? That's like level 400 commitment for this old fucker.
Children's.
I mean, I enjoy the memories, but during and before and after, I swear to God, I can feel the years just getting pulled off of me.
Yeah, it's rough.
I don't know why I stress so much. It's just a fucking ride.
I know. I went for a ride today and, about an hour in, my ass started to hurt. And it's like, man.
Stand up.
It's not as easy on the road.
So do we have a topic today?
Yes, I think we do. Do we?
Well, yeah, we got a topic. It's about two-up riders.
Two-up riding?
Yeah, something that I might have to get into here soon, I hear.
Yeah, well, those that ride in the dirt don't usually do two-up riding, but if they're thinking about getting into like adventure bikes and stuff like that, the possibility starts to open up.
Yeah. When the wife says I might refinance the house to get us a bike, then I have to call Chappie and say, hey, want to teach me via webcam and podcast how to two-up ride?
I'd have the wife give your wife pointers, but my wife would go, just hold on.
Just hold on and don't eat the Franks and beans. Chappie tried to cook dinner for his wife tonight, and she said, fuck you.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know if that should go in the podcast.
It's going in the podcast. It's real life just, here.
The way I just got home from a ride, and the wife asked what was for dinner, and I said, I've been cooking, and she looked at me funny, and he says, hey, I've been baking Franks and beans for the last 4 hours in the hot sun.
And she said, that's not on the menu today?
She mumbled something as she walked away. I just couldn't. It was unintelligible.
But it was definitely not a woohoo.
No. No, because we're podcasting instead of woohoo.
No. No frisky.
No frisky. I'm podcasting. So we figured a podcast for anybody that either doesn't have a lot of experience or is new to two-up riding, there's some definite pitfalls and problems with people that have never done it before.
You're saying it's not just easy, just hop on and do it?
Depending on your bike, no. Hmm. And I say depending on your bike because some of the cruiser type...
Like my V-Star I used to have? That was pretty easy.
Yeah, the weight is so low, you know, the center of gravity, that a passenger can wiggle around on the bike and not upset the apple cart very easily.
That's what I used to say. I used to say, hop on my bike, baby. How low can you go?
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And nobody ever got on. So.
And Amber smacked you in the back of the helmet.
She did. Why do you think I got a flat head in the back? Been smacked so many times in the back of the head. Okay, I'm going to throw a caveat at you here, or a little wrench in your...
Caviar?
In your plan here.
We're having caviar?
Not only two-up riding, but you know Cody does nothing by the book. Two-up riding off-road, like on a BDR.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the plan.
That's the plan?
That's the plan, Stan. Two up with videos on the BDRs. Some of them. Oh. Judging by your face, I'm guessing this is going to be a challenge.
I don't think I would want to do that. Well, the only advice I can give to Amber is hold on to the oh shit handles on the side and just move with the bike.
Yeah. That's good advice.
The bad news is you're probably going to have to stop more often because she's going to get the seat up the ass.
That's what I told her was. Yeah, it's just the seat. Don't worry about it, babe. I'm going to get my head smacked here in a minute.
Point being is usually when you're off road, you stand on the pegs so your legs take the majority of the bumps.
Yes, and... I just watched a video from Mr. Brett Tax. You know him?
Yeah.
He did a two-up video with the 790. But his girlfriend or wife, whatever it is, she also rides, I think, F800 BMW. Is that right?
GS? Yep, GS.
So when he stands up, she stands up. Now, I know this is advanced level shit probably, right?
Yeah, what does she hold on to?
She his hips, like she puts her hands basically in his pockets of his jacket or thereabouts. But she said basically she acts like she's riding the bike and they have done it enough that she knows like when he's going to try and go over an obstacle, she, anyway.
They've actually got belts with handles that you can.
Whoa, that's next level shit, Chappie.
Yeah, I've actually got one because...
I'm sure you do.
The ninja. The ninja did not have handles on it. So the only way the wife could hold on to something was I got a belt that went around my waist. And it has handles.
I can't even
Why
begin.
Why do you find that so fucking funny?
I can't even begin.
You've never seen
commenting
those?
On that. No, I've never seen a guy wearing a belt with handles on it, my friend.
It's not a belt that goes around your pants, man. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Where does it go?
She's not holding on to the belt so she can get deeper.
Oh. Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
She's holding on to the belt so she doesn't fall off the bike. Jeez.
I'm sorry. It just, like, I've never seen one of those. So when you described it, it sounded like a wild Friday night to me.
Yes. You can go on to Amazon and type in Power Mad, MADD, and there's a belt. It snaps on and it goes above, it goes like just below your rib cage.
Does it strap?
Or you can, huh? It's a fucking belt, man.
You'll figure it out when you edit this. You'll hear that.
It's a belt and it snaps together.
Oh, doesn't it strap on?
Where does dildo come into your
brain?
Wait
a minute, wait a minute.
What are you strapping on?
I don't know.
The feed bag?
The holster.
Holy shit.
The holster usually is the only thing I strap.
This video is brought, or this podcast is brought to you by Pornhub.
Dirty Minds. Remember that song?
Never mind Minds. Just one dirty mind over there.
Whatever. You're the one talking about the belt with handles on it. Just because we throw a partner into
for
the podcast,
riding.
Two uprighting, just because you get a playmate, doesn't mean you have to pull out the belt right away.
Aye.
Holy cow, man. You went from 0 to 100 like quick. No, honestly, I've never seen one of those. It sounds
must
interesting.
Must be all that dirt out there in Utah that gets into your brain.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, and I took the filter out of my helmet. So
I took the filter out of the helmet.
I did.
Because so you ate more dirt.
I do eat more dirt. Well, they make these cool little hydro packs that come up and you drill a hole through the vent in your face mask on your helmet so that while you're racing, your hydro thing's right there and you can just bite it and get water without having to take your hands off because obviously you're racing. I think my second time using that, I waterboarded myself because... I bit too hard and the water just kept coming up, just like choking. But yeah, to get that in there, I had to take the filter out. So I eat a lot of dust now.
Didn't you think like maybe zip tying it on there or taping it
obviously
would have worked?
Obviously not. Like I watched a YouTube video on how to do it and I just did what they said.
You permanently fix your helmet, or I should say unfixed your helmet.
Yes.
Unfixed. For a temporary.
Yes. But I mean, when you're doing 90 miles in a desert, water is not considered temporary. It's considered mandatory.
I know, but it's a temporary thing because you only race X number of times a year. But
yeah.
You use that
however
helmet.
Many times Squat says, we're racing this weekend. Which he usually does about Thursday. The race is Saturday. Or sometimes he'll do it on Friday night.
Squatch is not allowed to set my freaking schedule. That's for damn sure.
It's just how we roll.
On Thursday. You told me about that last week, though. So it's not like...
Oh, but he wasn't committed. I thought I was getting out of it.
Oh.
I thought I was getting out of it. But this is a fun race. Anyway, I digress. We're supposed to be talking about two up.
I know, we never talk about what we're supposed to talk
without
about.
Without sexual favors. Okay, serious. We'll get serious now.
Wait a minute now.
I need to learn.
Wait a minute now.
Hot to trot.
Wait a minute now. Who said anything about not having sexual favors?
Well, the look on your face when I started talking about sexual favors.
Because I wasn't talking about sexual favors. I was talking about something else. But now
you're
saying
about
that people don't have...
I know what the fuck I would do. And I get a belt with handles.
You're going to grab your own belt?
I'd put the belt on someone else. That's the only time you'd find me. You'd find me riding bitch. Oh, yeah? This is a cool belt. Let's try this out. But I have to be behind you, baby.
Bob, you need to hide the belt when Cody's here. And don't let him ride bitch on my bike. Oh, shit. I couldn't resist that one.
She's gonna lock the door when I get in town. Holy fuck. ain't no way we're letting that son of a bitch in here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, so we'll concentrate maybe on the easy stuff. Let's start on road to up. What would be your first word of advice to somebody trying to add a pillion?
That's basically where you started. The biggest thing to... Yeah, blah, dee, blah, 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 blah.
See? Pillion.
The biggest thing new two-up riders don't know, usually when starting. So if you've never operated a motorcycle with somebody else on the back, generally when you get your permit, you're not allowed to have anybody on the back. I would say that having somebody on the back definitely changes the balance of the bike, because now there is something 100 pounds or more sitting
right over the rear wheel.
Yeah, well, yes, but it's also very high, so it's going to change the center of gravity of your bike. My BMW has a higher center of gravity than my Ninjas used to.
That's what my wife is concerned about, being up higher. But any adventure bike is going to be that way, right?
Yeah, you're talking 30 plus. I mean, it's not as tall as yours. I mean, when I went to get my sticker on the Honda last weekend, somebody was there with a Husky 701. And the guy that is a mechanic that I race with, he's about my height. I think his legs are a little bit shorter, but he rides like a 90s CR250. He was like tippy-toeing this thing on one side.
Oh, yeah, I'm one side. Now you know why I pack so much shit on my bike, so I can get on it. And that's only half joking, really.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like the BMW is definitely going to be shorter than that.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember right offhand, but I think mine's like 37-inch seat height.
37?
Yeah.
Holy
I'm pretty sure that, don't hold me to it, but that's what's stuck in my head. So you're saying yours is like 30?
750 was 32, I think. And the comfort
seat. 5 inches is a big difference when you're trying to swing your leg over it and you're in Gore-Tex pants or something.
I know, a 37, my inseam's 34 and I got long legs.
I mean, Michael Jackson, if he was still alive, could create a dance out of the move I've created to get on my fully loaded 701.
Yes, because you can't swing your leg over a bike with full gear on the back.
No, no.
I had to learn that because getting on the Ninja was freaking seat height was like 25 inches or whatever. And, I would get on the bike and the wife would get on after me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't happen on the, on the BMW because the center of gravity is so high. And then when you load all your luggage and stuff, when she steps on the peg, that's a lot. You know, it's 100 pounds stepping on that peg, wanting to pull the bike
one way
to that side. So what I've learned is proper loading. You leave the bike on the kickstand and I hold on to the handlebars. You can have it in gear or you can, hold it from the other side and hold the front brake so it doesn't roll.
Depends if you're arguing or not arguing, if you hold on to the front brake tightly or not so tightly.
But I mean, generally, if it's in a flat position, by holding the handlebar, I'm keeping the bike from rolling forward.
Yes.
So the kickstand doesn't fold under. So what she does is she mounts the bike in my position. So she steps on the driver's peg, puts her knee on the seat, and then pivots her knee over. So she's standing on my pegs, and then she sits back and scoots back up into her position. And then I do the step over
to
get on the bike. But the only problem with that is now I've got to pick up a bike that's fully loaded with 100 pounds sitting on it and stand it up off the kickstand.
Yep.
Which with the BMW usually is okay because all that weight is squatted the bike down a little bit. So it stands up a little bit easier. And then I hit the ride height and it stands up a little, the suspension preloads. So it comes up a little bit and I can kick the kickstand.
What do you mean ride height?
I can preload the suspension.
What?
I have electronic suspension adjustment.
So you hit a fucking button and it raises up?
Yes, I can set it. I can set it for passenger or luggage. By hitting the top setting, having her and the luggage picks the bike up to its normal height, fully loaded. It's designed to adjust to a passenger and luggage. Yes. So you're not...
Sell the house, dear. Let's do this.
You're not
sagging. I need this button.
2019 or newer for the non-1200.
Yeah, 1200 is out. I've picked Tim's up enough. We're done. No 1200 in my future, probably ever.
Yeah. When you're getting
too big for me.
When you're getting ready to look, if you're thinking of maybe going used, let me know. I'll let you know what to look for to find the proper.
I found a beautiful 2015 one I sent you. It looked sweet.
Yeah, that's before the TFT and all that stuff.
I'm sure there was a reason, but that one looked sweet. And yes, it came with nice the luggage, Tortec, and yada, yada, yada. Which we all know aftermarket stuff is not cheap.
Yes, but I would think that you're probably going to want to keep your Moscow stuff.
Oh, yeah. But having options is never bad.
Right. But, I mean, if you guys
unless I have to hawk my Moscow stuff to get a new bike, we'll see how this goes. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I hope not.
Maybe I'll sell it to you because they're constantly out. They sent out an email today making fun of themselves, apparently.
Yes,
I haven't read it all. But
like I said, I have contacted them a couple times, and they actually know what's going on with our trip. So they're trying. You can't buy ahead. Like I bought my engine. Right. I bought my engine, my crash bars already. The tank bars are in, the engine bars weren't, but I was keeping an eye on them and they were down to two left of the tank bars. So I pulled the trigger knowing that the engine bars are supposed to be here this week, hopefully next week.
Pull the trigger, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's done. I'm just waiting for them to come in. I'm waiting for Touratech as well. They've got my GPS mount and bar risers.
Speaking of which, I need to go put on a shock and bar risers tonight.
Well,
you're racing.
If you do end
up getting... Shut up, you little fucker.
If you do end up getting a used one, I might have some parts for you.
Sweet.
Because they would not fit my new bike.
We'll see what the universe has in store. You never know.
Yeah,
but I have the feeling since all of my friends are buying new bikes in the last week.
Yeah, they did make a few.
Suddenly I feel like I need a new bike.
They did make a few changes to the 2021 model. My windscreen
besides
did not
the
fit.
Color thing to celebrate their anniversary thing. You did get the anniversary colors, I do see. I just watched the whole thing on it.
I don't know.
Can we say what color your bike is now?
Well, I think everybody got that from the thought they got that. I don't know. It depends.
It's
are you going to put that?
Edition.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to put the video out like probably Tuesday. Let's be realistic. Yeah.
Well, this will go out Friday, so hopefully they've seen the video.
Yeah, so.
Because Cody's going to have a little fun with my
black
walk
and yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to have a little fun.
Yes, and the yellow engine bars, crash bars are en route. Hopefully by the time this airs, I will have them. But yes, Moscow sent me an email before that one went out to everybody else. So I've got a line on when the things I want are coming in. I'm just crossing my fingers that I'm going to be able to get in and get it before somebody else sucks them all up. But I've got the money. It's waiting.
It's like an old Western saloon on Saturday night.
Yeah, the only
problem. You got to get in there, get taken care of before.
The only problem is I was told by Jen that the stinger is not going to be in the next shipment, which is no problem because I wasn't going to use the stinger anyway. I'm going to use my Mortatomic bag. So,
rated M?
Yes. Yeah. Holy crap. I started looking at those things because it's like riding season now and I'm getting ready to like put it on the bike.
Yeah. They're awesome. Dude. I love the mounting stuff it comes with.
I was just going to say that nobody else.
I love that.
Puts the mounting straps on the actual bag. I mean, usually you get a dry bag. Cool. It's just a dry bag. This one has the mounting straps. You do not need to buy straps. You buy the bag. It's strapped to your bike. It's like,
just don't lose them.
Just don't lose them. Did you lose yours?
I may have lost one or two of them. Oh, I can't say they're lost. I have not tried real hard to locate them, but
remind me never to loan you anything.
That crap is so cool. It really is.
Yeah, I mean the fact that it comes with the mounting straps to mount it to your bike. I mean, these are motorcycle enthusiasts.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Making gear for motorcycle enthusiasts. I'm gonna have to
look and see if they sell those just separately.
I don't know. But you might be able to ask Dan where to get them.
Yeah. But it is cool that they come with it. Really.
Absolutely.
That was one of my favorite features when I went out on the retrieval trip to Minnesota. One up with tons of luggage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, the clock's ticking away and we haven't even talked about two up, really. So what would you think would be the most important thing for a new two up rider to be aware of?
Well, probably would be a good idea to communicate your expectations quite clearly. Like, for instance, and don't hold me to this being correct, but if I lean with the bike, you lean with me, or you lean not with me, or you stay with the bike, whatever your expectation is, set that right away.
Yeah, that would go into the next point would be, teaching your passenger, especially if they do not have any prior experience. I still think the biggest thing the driver needs to worry about is they need to understand that there is more weight on that bike and it is higher up. So it's going to change the dynamic of the bike.
So it's going to handle differently.
Right. Moving on to the next subtopic. How to teach the passenger or what the passenger needs to know about riding. This stuff needs to be communicated before they ever get on the bike. So you should take your passenger and you should tell them, do not get on or get off the bike until I tell you
it is ready.
Okay. Yes. Funny story. I went to the local track. My brother and my buddy Andy were riding their dirt bikes, and I pulled up on the Ninja, and I rode right into the pits on the bike. And my sister-in-law was there, but she had parked in the parking lot, which is quite a ways away. And we were all getting ready to go, and she's like, oh, I'm going to get going. I gotta walk quite a ways. And I said, well, I'll give you a ride over. I says, we're on grass. It's not like, you know, no big deal. I mean, you can always steal my brother's helmet if you wanted to. I'll go slow. So I was on the bike and I wasn't ready. I didn't have the hands on the handlebars. I had just gotten on and she stepped on the peg and I don't know how I did not let the bike tip over. I mean, it was because usually if somebody's going to get on the bike, you want to make sure that you have a hold of the front brake so the bike's not going to roll again, like we had talked about when the wife gets on. You want to make sure that you're balanced and you have the bike and you're ready. Because as soon as they step on that bike, it's going to change the dynamic.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you get that out of the way before they ever get on the bike.
So I came up with, I'm sure this isn't original, but when my wife's going to hop on the bike, She'll kind of put her hand on my shoulder and give me just a little squeeze and wait just a second to see if my arm goes, wait, you know. But that way I know she's getting on, and she gives me just a second to react to say, oh, hold on, my foot's, you know, slipping or.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a hand on the whatever you come up with. But again, communication prior to engagement, I guess.
Yes, and that's important also for driving down the road. If you do not have comms, which, I mean, I have comms now, so me and the wife can talk to each other. I can tell her to get on or get off.
Well, I'm sorry. I just had a vision pop in my head because, funny story, my first bike that I got, I did a job in trade. It was right around one of my wife's birthdays. She's always been the one that wanted me to get bikes. Anyway, I got a 600 Shadow, Honda Shadow, for trade for an electrical job I did. And I brought it home for her birthday. But that thing, man, I mean, it was fun, like, to ride to the convenience store. Or, you know, it was a fun bike, but the suspension sucked. So we have this route that goes kind of up by the mountains. But it's really, there's a ton of potholes, there's dips and all this. And so it used to like beat her ass literally right. When we went over some of these bumps. So we came up with this thing, and I would shrug my shoulders twice when I was coming up on what I thought was a big bump. So she would know. Rather than, you know, tune the suspension, I just started shrugging my shoulders.
Right. Well, I mean, I had a Ninja, so I'm in a tuck. It's not as easy for the passenger to grab onto something. Oh, my God. Right? And those bikes.
Is this where the belt came into play?
Part of it, yes.
Okay, you were tucking and you had a belt with handles. So you're tucked. You said you were tucked.
Well, yeah. I mean, on a sport bike, you know, you're leaned over the handlebars. You know, you're tucked forward. And the passenger, they're trying to stay upright. And there's no handles on those bikes anymore. They used to put handles on the back so they could hold on.
Oh, shit bars?
Yeah. And, like, you can stop on a dime with those things. The brakes are so powerful because they go so fast. So
how many dents did you have on the back of your helmet?
Quite a few. But her ass would always slide forward too. So she'd end up on my seat. So like, if she didn't know it was coming, she couldn't put her hands on my back to brace herself from coming forward. So we came up with hand signals before the comms, you know, like if somebody was like slow as snail shit and I was going to pass them, I would like tap her leg. Her, you know, left leg, because I'm going around this guy, which means hold on because I'm about to ramp it. And, you know, the throttle response on those things, I mean, you go from 30 to 90 in a blink. And when you do, it's like you pull G's.
Yeah.
Like,
so if she's not expecting it, you don't have a pillion anymore.
Right. And then I would also do like, if I had to like, if I could see that I was going to be braking, I would, again, like squeeze her leg instead of tap it, because it was quicker to just give it a squeeze and then I'd get my hand up to the clutch.
You know, at my house, what we call those?
What?
Safe words.
But going through all of these, you know, hand signals and communication ahead of time before you get out on the road, so both parties know what to expect. You need to have these communications, because if you just slam on the brakes,
yeah,
and they can't see what's coming up, they're going to whack their helmet in the back of yours.
Well, and they're kind of dual purpose. Like, not only is it for safety, right, which is a big thing,
right,
it also makes the ride more enjoyable for both people when you know what's coming up and you're communicating.
Absolutely. And then, you know, she had her wrap me on the back if she needed to pull over and
piddle.
Mm,
Or get a... Holy sheep shit. Look what the cat dragged in.
Got some news for you.
What?
You want it or not?
Yeah, let's have it.
No race tomorrow.
There's no race tomorrow?
No.
What?
No. You look disappointed.
I'm not disappointed. Hold, please. Sure. Mr. Podcast, say hi, Squatch.
What's up?
Hi.
Yeah, so here's the schedule that I took on December 16th. So this was for this year.
Yeah.
It says 5:22 is Firebirds Jericho. 6:05 is Rough Riders Monticello. And then woo-hoo-hoo, on their thing now, it says...
They changed the date on our ass.
Now the schedule is 6:05 is Firebirds and 6:19 is Monticello. They all got pushed back.
COVID.
Because I went to look at the flyer.
No, I paid them. I paid them to move the race back a month.
I looked at the flyer and it says Firebirds Saturday, June 5th. But it was supposed
to be... I've been looking at that flyer all day. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be... It was supposed to be... Yeah, so it got moved.
Well, we can still go ride tomorrow. I got my shot. So that means we get to have a fun ride tomorrow.
Yeah, that's some good news.
It just took the stress off me. We're still going to ride like motherfuckers, but...
Right. Yeah, there you go. So,
no stress. Okay, well, thanks for letting me know, because I was in panic mode.
I like that pimping chair.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Gold. Ooh,
and you even sent...
Hey, wait a minute. Bullshit. Hey, you're supposed to tell him that Mulebex man sent that one for Squatch.
No, I'm not. He sent it for science.
Oh, for science. Research purposes?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Fucker.
It's a good thing he can't hear me.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It will probably ultimately will end up there, but...
Oh, God.
This one has a gold frame, so I feel like a baller in this one.
Oh, now you've got the Ferrari.
Yeah. So communication is great because it's safety and makes the ride more fun. Plus, I think that you get, well, it's kind of like a secret handshake or secret language. So it's bonding without bondage.
Jeez.
Yes, and yes, and I'm a big talker. This is all a bunch of bullshit, okay?
It can also, you know, be different between, you know, different passengers and stuff. It can be your own language. It doesn't have to be anything universal. As long as there's a rider, driver, and passenger both know what they are, so.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Like, because if I had a triple tap on the left leg, might give me a reach around, I'm going to do that with the wrong pillion. That could be embarrassing. Why are you covering your face?
You keep going there, man.
It's Friday, bro.
What is that?
Friday fun day.
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
I guess.
All right. We can edit that out. It's fine. Okay. What is number three other than threesome? Because we don't ride three up. That would be crazy.
No.
I've seen him do that in like Vietnam though, like six.
Are you
up.
Kidding me? Yeah, I was.
Have you seen
say,
that shit?
Yes.
The whole family on the fucking little.
I've seen pictures
Trail 90
on Instagram
or whatever
and all kinds of stuff. I've seen ones where there's a kid in between hiding in dad's shirt, in between mom and dad, and it's like the fucking kid ain't got a helmet on.
It's kind of like our border right now. Oh, I'm just funning with y'all.
Kamala.
But so what's trace? Like number three tip.
Now I understand where you're going.
It's a little slow sometimes.
Jumping all over. We were doing like hand signals.
I know.
But they also need to discuss like when the rider's going to shift. If the rider or the passenger needs to shift in their seat, there needs to be a signal.
Warning.
This is if you don't have comms, because like,
right.
If you're going into a corner and they start wiggling around in the back seat,
it's a bad time to start wiggling.
Yeah, the bike is going to start wiggling. When you pull up to a stop, that can be a good time, but the operator needs to know that it's going to happen. When I would pull up to a stop sign, I knew the wife had always slid forward. So I would get my feet planted and then I would nod my head and she would
shimmy back.
Yeah. But I always told her when we were moving, if we were moving straight, she could move around all she wanted back there. I had control.
She's doing jazzercise behind you. Woo, 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 woo.
On that bike, it was fine. But on the BMW, we have different rules.
What are the rules?
Well, we have comms unit. She's not allowed to, like, wave her arms and shit at people if we're not moving at, like, speed.
She can't be flipping people off and...
No, we were rolling down to the end of the driveway, and she decided to stick her arm out to the side and wave to somebody once. And, you know, it's a top-heavy bike, and I've got the wife sitting up on the top of the bike. You know, the passenger waving. Seat is higher than mine. Yes, my feet aren't on the ground. I'm in slow-speed maneuvers. That bike started freaking going like this, and I'm like, stop, 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 stop. I'm just waving to Ray. It's like, I don't fucking care if you're waving to the Pope. Stop. don't do that.
Even the Pope can stop us from falling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, when you're doing slow speed stuff, yeah, every movement is like twice as big or three times as big, right?
And like, as far as their positioning on the bike, they shouldn't lean into a turn. They shouldn't lean against a turn.
Just stay with the bike.
Yes, they should sit in that seat. And as the bike starts to lean, they should just stay, you know, parallel with that seat.
So for those of you that didn't catch it, you should sit in the seat, shut the fuck up, and hold on and be one with the bike. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, gruffly.
Okay, yeah, that was a little... But yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, stay with the bike. Because if they lean into the turn, and you lean into the turn, and you're fully loaded, holy shit, what are you going to be doing? Sliding?
It's possible. But I mean, I don't usually lean into the turn. I mean, I stay with the bike as well. I don't move at speeds to where I need to hang off the bike.
Oh, I like to hang off the bike, even though I'm not doing that much speed. So sometimes in turns, you'll see my bike straight up and me way over here.
I can't wait to get that on camera.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, it came with riding with Nobbies. I mean, like I was just experimenting, you know, if I lean this way. Obviously, it's slow speeds. Usually, okay, people, I'm an idiot, but not, I don't have a death wish.
Well, I mean, that's how the GP riders, you know. I mean, you're leaning the bike a little bit, but by leaning into the turn, the bike doesn't have to go over as much.
Right. I just knew with Nobbies at some point, if I tilted the bike too much, it could be real shitty.
Well, you got 50-50s, right?
Now I do, yeah.
Oh, you had like straight up Nobbies.
Pretty much. Probably like 20-80s, I think you would refer
to them. Those are not very good in corners and stuff.
And they're very bumpy on the road. Mm. Kind of like driving a truck with big old mud tires.
Yeah. I want to say I have...
It vibrates your special parts, but that's only fun for a little while, and then it's annoying.
I'd have to look up the tires on the Honda, but I want to say they're 50-50 or maybe 40-60. No, 40-60, because they're Nobbies, but they're close together, and they're not off-road Nobbies.
Yeah. My new Kendas are interesting. They're 50-50, but they're rounded, totally like a street tire.
Right.
So they do look kind of like Nobbies. Like, they've got some kind of aggressive off-road, I guess you would say, but they slip all the fuck over on the dirt trails. I found out.
Yeah.
And when I turn now on the street, it's like different. I feel like I'm going to tip over, even though I'm actually correct probably on the bike.
But you still probably don't want to use those for your trip here, because 2,400 miles is probably going to wear them out.
I don't know. I've got 1,000 on them. They still look brand new. They're just not good on off-road. I mean, they're not terrible, but like if I got into some deep sand or something, I think they would really suck because...
Well,
they're really short Nobbies, if that makes sense. They're really,
yeah.
So there's not a lot of bite.
Too much.
Yeah, they don't flex much. So they are better on the road, But when I got off-road, I started riding like I usually ride, and I was like, holy shit, my back end is like, even with my handlebars right now, and I didn't mean to.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, there's...
That's the trade-off, I guess.
Ideally, you've got street tires and you've got full-on knobby, so like when you get to a dirt road, you pull over, you change your tires. But I mean, that's just not feasible in...
Not unless you're sponsored by some really rich people.
Well, even if you're sponsored, I mean, I'm not pulling over and changing my fucking tires because there's a dirt road coming up.
Well, I'm not. You know, like, but if I had somebody to do it for me, I might sit there and smoke while they did it. All right, Jerry, let's swap over the tires. You know, you'd have different wheels.
Well, yeah, that would be, I was just going to say, if we're talking that kind of deal, you'd have a set of rims that you
Or we could just quit being pussies and just ride.
Right. But that, that's basically where I was getting at. You're never going to have the perfect tire because, I mean, I've been researching adventure tires for the last 3-4 weeks and I just going on and on. It's like,
a rabbit hole, isn't it?
Well,
you think you've got it and then you don't.
Well, yeah, because if I go with a 60-40 tire, you know, yes, it's going to do okay off-road, but I'm not an experienced adventure bike rider. And they say if you're not an experienced adventure bike rider and you're going to go off-road, you should go towards a more knobby tire.
It'll make your trip more enjoyable, more knobby. And like BDRs are, well, they try to make them as much off-road as possible. Right. But they all have stretches of, I don't know, call it a highway or road, whatever.
Right. So I'm leaning towards a tire that is probably going to last for the trip. And then when I get back, I'm going to be putting the road tires back on.
So if you are seriously looking at tires for the 250?
No, 250, I would ride the way it is.
Okay. I was going to say, the Tusk dual sport tire is awesome.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Shinko 805, 804, or whatever it is. The Mitas, either the EO 7 Plus or the... I'm actually leaning towards the E10, but so a lot of those, they say 2,500 to 5,000 miles. So we're going to do 2,500 to 2,700 miles or something like that just on the BDR. So by the time we're done with that trip, those tires might be toast, depending on what I get. The Shinko's wear out quicker.
Yeah, I don't know. I've used the Tusk Dual Sports 50-50s on most of my recent trips, and they wear pretty well. But if you're doing like a 1,000-mile stretch of highway to get somewhere, they would wear out in the middle if you did, I mean, long stretches of highway, you know?
Yeah, so I mean...
I don't anticipate of, what'd you say, 20 what? How many miles-ish? 2,500-ish?
BDRs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would anticipate, give or take a few, 700 or less of that will be pavement.
Right.
So...
But it's still mileage. You know, you're still putting the mileage on.
The pavement wears the tires out quicker than the... Well, depending on the tire, but...
Depending on the way you ride, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a burn it up type of person. I did about 100 miles today in a little over 3 hours, which when you average it out, it's like 35. I want to say my BMW averaged it out to my average speed was like 42.
Well, that's because you're cutting into the twisties.
Yeah, and it's like the speed limit was anywhere from 25 to 55.
Yeah, you're not on the interstate.
No.
What's number four, Chappie? What's number four?
There is no numbers.
I'm trying to keep us on. Oh, there's no numbers.
But yeah, so before we got sidetracked on tires, we were talking moving with the bike. That's, I would say, probably the most important thing to get across to your passenger when you're teaching them or training them about how to behave on the bike.
And not doing the Macarena when we're going into a turn, okay?
Yeah. My wife learned when we went for a ride one September, it was beautiful during the day, and we ended up stopping for dinner with friends. And on the way back, it was colder. So she was like leaned forward, just squeezing me, trying to hide behind me to catch all the wind. And she didn't care how fast we went. She just wanted to get the fuck off the bike. And she learned that day that it didn't matter how much I leaned that bike over, it ain't falling. And she wasn't afraid of it anymore. Yes. So, I mean, her freezing her ass off, she learned that the bike is not falling over. If it started to lean over, she didn't have to start to lean the other way because she wasn't going to fall off. She didn't want to move to get into the wind. So she stayed behind me. And
it's a great teacher.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I wish I would have known that. I would have figured out how to do that.
So those of you who are trying to teach people, there's a trick. Haha.
Take her for a cold ride.
Yeah, take her for a cold ride. Don't tell her what's up.
As far as teaching goes, what else can you think of that you might need to teach somebody before they get on the back of the bike? You've got like the communication, don't get on the bike until you're told, don't wiggle and move around without the operator knowing what's going on, because you can upset the apple cart. Especially during slow speed.
And accelerate and brake communication. We went over that too.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I'm sure I'm forgetting something here, but
yeah.
If
anybody can think of anything we left out, hop on over to the website and leave us a comment. I need to get off my ass and start leaving show notes. I've been really bad at writing those out lately.
Here's the show notes. I'm going to tell you the show notes. Rated M. 20% off if you use the code THROTTLEDADV. And if you spell it correctly, unlike I did in my fucking video today.
Oh!
Didn't notice till it was already up.
Spelled THROTTLED wrong?
I forgot the D. Forget the T?
Oh, you forgot the D?
So it's THROTTLEADV.
Can you go change it?
If I take it down and repost it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so no.
Just put a...
I did in the very top of the note in the comments. So they should be able to see that when they look at it. But other show notes, MotoCamp Nerd, use the same code with no space and you save 10%.
Yes. And you're supporting small business bikers. These people ride motorcycles. The husbands and the wives, they all ride.
So. And I'm going to throw one in there just because I love y'all. If you go to Bigfoot Bushcraft and pick something up and use two wheels, the number two wheels and a tent, no spaces, you save 15% on whatever you purchase.
Awesome.
Just threw that in there because it's Friday. I'm feeling giving. We love y'all.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean you can ride bitch on my bike, but we still love y'all.
Only if you wear the belt.
No belt wearing here. I rode bitch last year.
Remember
my Punisher video?
Yep.
When I left my bike up in the canyon?
Yes.
I had to hop on the back of Johnny's bike to get back to the truck. Because it was getting dark and
cold. That is not fun.
No, on a dirt bike?
Nope. No pegs.
No pegs. Not smooth road.
So did you hold him around the waist or did you put your hands on his shoulders?
I did because I can't remember. Probably one of each. I can't remember, but I held on.
Johnny is not a memorable ride.
No, he's a memorable rider. I just don't remember where my fucking hands were.
Oh, they were that many places, huh?
Let's just say, I mean, you can be a pillion on Johnny's bike and you're still going over rocks that I would not do when I'm on my own fucking bike. Oh. Hold on, Cody.
Oh, God.
Thank God it's only like a 3-mile ride, but damn. All right, it's time for Choppy to go to bed.
No. Okay, so I guess
it's time for me to go buy a belt real quick because it's Friday fun day. See if I can get frisky.
Yeah, anybody that's interested in that handle.
Getting frisky?
No, the belt. It is Power Mad. POWERMADD.
Did you take it off when you went in the store?
Yeah, I usually took it off.
Okay, so I didn't say, I'm not wearing that into a store.
Well, because I can't unzip the jacket.
Yeah, true. I didn't know they had that, but that's like you said, for off-road, that might be a damn good option.
Get more balls than I do. I would not want to ride off-road with a passenger.
Well, that's the only place I like to ride is off the road.
Dirt roads? Fine.
Yeah.
But
that's still off-road. Like,
well, I'm thinking like BDR type stuff up and over rocks and whatnot. I don't
know. Yeah, most of the BDRs are fairly mellow, but unless you take the expert sections.
I sent you a...
Which I would not do with a
pillion. I sent you a video not that long ago of somebody coming down a pretty steep hill with some rocks, two up, on a 1250, 1200, one and yeah. two. It's like, oh, damn, no thanks.
Yeah. I just don't feel like I am skilled enough rider to do that at this point. So to me, it just looks...
Yeah, it's a whole new ball of wax.
Yeah. I respect it. I just don't think I'm ready to try it yet.
Like I said, or like we said when we were talking about the differences between dual sport and ADV riding. Dual sport, you're riding more like a motocross or a woods bike. ADV bike, you're not. You're not going into the turn, leaning that thing over and putting your foot up under the handlebars. You're keeping your feet planted on the pegs and you're leaning the bike and counter leaning, you know, it's a whole different ball of wax.
Which I don't know if people, you know until you do it, right?
Right.
I was guilty of it. I thought riding a motorcycle.
No.
Tony Mac gave me a ton of shit because I thought riding a dirt bike was like riding a bike. So what did I do? Sat down the whole fucking ride. And then at the end, I'm like, God, I got beat up. And Johnny's like, stand up. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, on your dirt bike. Well, I used to sit on the Shadow and the V-Star.
Oh. I thought you were talking about like BMX bicycles.
No, that was a long time ago. I was going to say, shit,
those seats were so freaking small. You don't sit on those unless you absolutely had to.
My childhood bike is now, the model of it is in a museum.
Trying to say you're old?
Well, number one, I'm old. Number two, I had the coolest fucking bike ever. It was a Diamondback. Remember the Diamondback BMX bikes? They're pretty cool. But it was the first, like, I can't remember if it's aluminum or what, but it was the first. It was all chromed out.
Oh, alloy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. One of my unsavory friends at the time brought that over to my house as a present for me. Some poor child down somewhere else probably missed it for the rest of their life, but man, I sure enjoyed it.
I sure enjoyed it.
I did. And I'm like thinking, fuck, if this thing's stolen, like it was like a one of a kind for a long time. I was like,
disclaimer, at no point does Throttled Adventures
recommend stealing bikes,
recommend or condone
no
the theft of anything.
Absolutely not. Especially a bike, because most of the bike people I know are just like me, and that could be handed out with a sentence of death. Mm. If you watch my recent video, also referred to as a freedom stick.
Oh, is that what you were talking about, freedom stick? Yeah. I was wondering what the fuck you were talking about, freedom stick. What the hell? Cody sits on a freedom stick while he's riding or something? Talking about strapping something on.
Well, it does end with a bang if you sit on that thing. Bang you will wish you had never sat on.
Yeah.
Called it the freedom stick. I didn't want to say any wrong words for the YouTube algorithm. Like, this is my Glock.
You should have just said I keep something in here that you can't know about.
Can't know about it. I think that's good. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the only thing I can say is
don't pinch my nipples.
Well, start slow.
Just
go
tip.
Go back roads. You know, try and stay off the beaten path and get used to it. Maybe start in a parking lot somewhere. Ride around the parking lot. Get used to the slow maneuvers. If you can master slow maneuvers, going fast is easy.
That's what Graham Jarvis says. Go slow to go fast, basically. I'm fucking up his direct words, but practice slow and you can go fast.
The more confidence you have at slow maneuvers, the more you learn about your vehicle, your bike.
And your wife, apparently.
Yes.
When the neighbor comes out and she waves at Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, Chappie didn't make a spectacle and fall down.
The bike was new at that point, too.
That's when it usually happens. That's why I'm surprised you didn't go down, because it was newer.
Yeah, and there's like little bits of gravelly crap down at the bottom of the driveway, too. It's like, don't ever.
Amen. Thank God. I think that's all I got. I don't know if the little elf is around here.
Well, I mean, there's other, like, if you're going to travel, once you get your pillion legs under you.
Yes.
I was going to say sea legs, but pillion leg. Once you get your pillion legs under you and you learn
how to crack the whip, keep them in line.
Well, packing for two is a lot harder than packing for one, because now you're packing for two people on one bike.
Yes. So you have the passenger weight and their added whatever they're bringing.
Yes, which means you get to bring less.
And that just means I need to direct them on what less they need to bring, because it's my fucking bike. In a that's perfect world, that's how it would go. But we all know that's not how the conversation is really going to go.
No. I think we need one of them trailers.
You really need three pair of underwear? I don't think you do. Because my slippers and my robe will not fit in there if you have three pairs of underwear. And we're going to go, okay, dear.
You don't need three pairs of underwear because nobody's touching what's in there anyway.
There's no Frankenbeans tonight.
All that space that you've had in the past is now pretty much cut in half. If you're going to spend the majority of the trip traveling, your motorcycle attire is going to double for your most of your clothes. So it's undergarments that they pack small.
Yeah.
You could probably get away with a pair of pants for if you want to go out to a restaurant or something like that. If you're camping, well,
the good thing
what?
About
now
that
you have
is
less space.
You have less. However, the good thing is, like, the tent is just one tent.
Yes.
But you're going to need two sleeping bags, two sleeping pads.
Two pillows.
Well, that's what the wife's for.
yeah.
Well, those aren't pillows. I'm sorry.
If you're hoteling, it's
a little different.
Yes. Well, you drop two sleeping bags, two pads, and a tent.
Do you add a dent?
I don't know. You got to ask the two-wheel guy.
I don't know. It's a Rodney and Chappie joke. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but.
That was funny shit. I don't even remember how that came about. You said something about a dent or something. I don't know. But it was funny. It just popped into my head. Something about the dent, and then, oh, did you see the video? And I said, what, the two-wheel and a dent guy? And your eyes kind of got big for a second. Like
what did I dent?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I in trouble?
Rodney was laughing his ass off. We need to get him on here.
I was just talking to him today. Hope to meet up with him in the next week or so. He's coming to Utah.
Oh, nice.
So, possibly, we could get him on the show.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else for two up riding.
Well, I don't know if Mr. Elf wants to work tonight or not. Does he have any requests?
Oh, yeah. We've got some.
And you don't have to race. I'm going to go downstairs and Squatch going to be like, just kidding. Pack your shit up. Let's go. What if? Okay, here comes the what if elf, motherfucker, to your house. What if?
1 through 6.
Well, 6, 6, 6. 6.
All right. Oh, boy. This one's going to be fun.
Shit, what if? You say that if, every time. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
What if you could be in any TV show or movie, what would it be and what character would you be? We know what TV show you're in.
Well, I mean, Elf would obviously be an elf. He'd probably want to act like a tall guy, but if you just ask my kids what character am I, they would just tell you the Jim Carrey Grinch.
You are? Apparently. The wife says that around Christmas time.
Apparently, even through the whole year, I quote the whole movie. I don't even know this. But.
If you could be in any TV show or movie, what movie would you want to be in? And what character would you be?
Well, first off, I would be John Wick in a John Wick movie.
Really?
Yeah. Second of all, I would pick, I'd like to be on the, is it Norman Reedus? Daryl from Walking Dead. He has a show where he rides motorcycles with his friends in like cool locations, different. I mean, this is pre-COVID, right? But
right.
Around the world, basically. I think that would be cool. Just something like that. How about you?
Me? I would want to be Jesse Mock.
Who the fuck is Jesse Mock?
Street Hawk?
Wow.
No?
You said I'm saying I'm old?
Come on, that was from the 80s. There was a TV show, and I don't know if anybody has ever heard of Knight Rider.
Yeah.
This was kind of like Knight Rider, but he was on a motorcycle. It was a government-owned motorcycle that had an air burst, had hyperspeed. He had a laser and machine guns on it. He was kind of like a vigilante that was on a motorcycle.
So
I think that's why I wanted a BMW, because BMWs kind of look like what that bike was like.
Hmm. Interesting. If we're going back to the 80s, I would just be what I really am on the trail. MacGyver.
MacGyver got himself out of trouble, not into trouble.
Yeah, well, I got to get myself out.
After you put yourself in.
Well, yeah.
He never put himself in the trouble.
Well, that's because he was unimaginative. No, every time I broke down on the trail or something goes wrong on an adventure, I think, fuck, time to pull out MacGyver, man. I'm glad I watched that show. Sometimes you got to think outside the box and fucking use grass in your tire or some shit.
Grass in your tires.
Yeah. If you got a fucking flat and you need to get 50 miles, what are you going to do? And you don't have a tube?
I don't have tubes. Well, I got a plug kit.
What if the plug doesn't work?
BMW roadside assistance.
Okay, well, what if you don't have service? What if your Garmin is dead? See where I'm going with this?
I don't know. How the hell is grass in your tire going to work?
You haven't seen that?
Yeah.
So the KTM film guy, I think his name is Aaron Reed. He used to be like a pro racer. Anyway, he was on a way to film a KTM video. They had loaned him a bike, and he was kind of in the middle of nowhere. But he had to be at this rally to film it by specific time. And he got a flat, didn't have tubes, whatever. He literally stuffed it with like, not grass like your lawn, but long grass out in the fields. And it got him to the thing. Obviously, he wasn't doing like 120 miles an hour after that, but... I just thought, I never want to have to use that, but it is good to know. I wouldn't recommend it. We don't suggest it on this channel.
I just think it's kind of odd that he had tire irons to do that, but he didn't have tubes.
Hey, I don't make up the movies, okay? Maybe he had a toothpick. I don't know.
I don't care what he's got behind his belt with handles.
It's a tire iron, apparently. You were just telling me.
You said toothpick.
Yeah, well.
Dirty.
Dirty, dirty. Dirty, 30. Except I'm over 30 now, so what does that mean?
I said dirty, not 30.
I said dirty, 30.
Dirty, 30. Shit.
Dirty little minds, dirty little minds, dirty little minds. She likes it from behind. Dirty little minds, dirty little minds. Likes it from behind.
What?
For those of you that don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, go look up Jackal. J-A-C-K-Y-L, I think is how they spelled it. Dirty Little Minds.
I would just like to, before we sign off, give a shout out to our listener, Jay.
Hey, Jay. Thank you so much for letting us invade your ear holes.
Jay took something that Cody says all the time and turned it into a sticker.
This is the first time I felt like, oh, shit, I better watch my mouth. Yeah, I've never had a sticker made.
He sent me a bunch of stickers that says Earhole Invasion Throttled ADV.
I fucking love it. Thank you, Jay. That was so awesome.
It was.
So cool.
I posted them up on Instagram if anybody wants to see what the sticker looks like. I only have a small supply, and until I get a hold of Jay to talk to him about it.
It's an Instagram only for now.
Yeah. I do not have enough to send out to everybody if they want them.
I mean, I don't even have one because I didn't give them my address. They are awesome though, Jay. That is like,
yes,
that is so fucking cool.
I mean, I didn't even think of anything like that, but the thought process behind that, it really came out pretty good. But expect an email, Jay, because I want to talk to you about that. But yeah, we just wanted to give you a thank you and a shout out for doing that for us. I have nothing further on the two up riding. If anybody can think of anything, head on over to the website and drop us a line, and we'll be sure to bring them up in a future episode. We'll revisit this subject and
you're Chappy. I'm Cody.
Cody, down low.
Brap. And if you drop us a line, make sure you leave me too.
Leave me too.
If you're putting lines down.
Oh. Oh my goodness. So.
Sorry, that's from a past life, seriously, like over 10 years ago, people.
Yes.
I can't be incriminated. It's too long.
All right, so until next week.
Hold on tight to the belt.
Hold on to the belt in front of you.
Communicate with your pillion.
Lean with the bike.
Lean with the bike. Take her on a cold ride. That'll teach her.
And just get out and do the thing.
Get out and ride.
Until next week, I'm Chappy.
And I'm Cody. Ride on down to the dealer and buy yourself a new motherfucking bike. And then get out there and enjoy the adventure.